Hey, welcome. Welcome to the chapel. There's a lot of faces I have not had a chance to say hi to. Derek, right? I knew him. So growing up, he was my neighbor. This dude's this tall. We went to school. I drove him to school. So his nickname is D-Dog. If you want to say hi to him, my nickname for him has always been D-Dog. So it's good to see you, man. I'm Pastor Bill and campus pastor here. So I look forward to over time getting to know you and getting to care for you. And so welcome to the chapel. We're honored to have you here. We glorify the Lord. So a couple announcements before we get started. We're having lunch. So we have lunch every Sunday. So please stay. It's just like go out those doors and Trinity downtown here, Trinity Lincoln downtown, provide the lunch. I have no idea what we're having other than I know we're having tater tots. I'm a big tater tot fan. So please stay for lunch. This evening, there's going to be this massive humanity outside the stadium. It's called the Street Fair. We're going to be part of it. And so please stop by our gratitude booth and thank someone in your family as you snap a picture in front of the giant Nebraska flag. So go and get your free stuff and please stop by our booth. So starting this Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we have Bible huddles. And we start off in this space here. But the first 2 weeks, we're just going to really get to know each other and hear a couple testimonies. So 8 o'clock, Wednesday night. I know I talked to somebody earlier, Morgan, who said that she has a lab on Wednesday night. So we're going to have Bible huddles at different times as well. So if Wednesday night at 8 o'clock just doesn't work for you, let me know, and I'll connect you up to a group. Because that's how we really want to grow, is through small groups and just getting to know on each other and love each other. So this is our worship team and others. So if you're musical, Avery, do you want to say something at all?
If you are musical, you don't need to have experience, but we are looking for more people, so come and talk to us afterwards.
Awesome. This Friday is, we're going to have a barbecue here at 6 o'clock, and so just come, you eat, we'll have yard games on the west lawn, and then if things play out the way they might, we might just go to the union afterwards, and there's a back-to-school bash party there, and just kind of check that out. So that's this Friday, 6 o'clock, barbecue here, okay? So here's my phone number, and I would love for you to put it in your phone. And there's Mark. Mark and I are the two staff persons here on campus. So put it in your phone. It's also on our website. And I would love to pray walk with you and care for you and just get to know you. I want to have you over to my house for dinner. I just want to get to know you. And so we want to build a community here. And so please put my number in your phone. We have a team of disciplers. These are people who are not students, but they're people who want to love on you and invest in you. And over the course of the next couple weeks, you're going to meet some men and women who are going to pursue you and say, hey, would you like to spend time together? Would you like to be discipled? And my wife in the back, this gorgeous woman, is one of our disciplers. And so please get to know her as well. But that's a big part of how we want to, you know, care for you is by discipling you and investing in you. So that's it. So one of the things that we do at the beginning of every worship service, we believe this, that the New Testament church, they really knew each other. Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. We're not going to have you kiss total strangers. But we want to build a sense of just goodness between you, and that's what we do every Sunday. We start with an opening comment or a question, and it has something to do with the message. So what I'm going to invite you to do, especially if you're an introvert, this is kind of a little difficult. You stand up, you stick out your hand, you meet somebody you don't know, you introduce yourself, try to learn their name. This is only for like 30 seconds, so don't freak out. And then here's the thing. Describe a time in your life when you felt especially blessed by God. The key word for this morning is the word blessed. So when you felt especially blessed by God, describe a time in your life, and then stay standing for our invocation. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, the words of that song are true because you have declared it so. Your grace holds me now. We are held in your unending love. And that is truly blessed. That's the sweet spot. That's where all of the junk, you know, of our life gets fixed, where we're made clean, where we're forgiven and restored and given new life, a new day. We don't live in the residue of our past. We live in the hope of our future because your grace holds us together and holds us up. And so, Lord, we honor you and we worship you and we thank you for your incredible love for us in Christ Jesus on the cross, through the empty tomb, ascended to the right hand of God, all of that was for us, and all of it is a gift. And so, Lord, as we encounter your word, we are stepping into a holy territory. When you think about the fact that we are hearing in English words that came right out of your brain 2,000 years ago. It's almost like we're in a time machine, Lord, that we have access to a point in time where you actually said these words to a crowd, and it had an impact on them. Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may your words have an impact on us. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for leading us in worship. Okay, so the question is, you know, when in a time of your life have you been especially blessed? You know, we're starting a new semester together. So I know a good number of you got married over the summer, and so you're like starting a new relationship with your honey. And so there's a lot of newness going on in our lives right now. And when we're launching into something new, it's like, Lord, you know, bless my marriage, bless this semester. And I think that most likely, without probably an exception, whatever you said to that person that you were next to earlier in the service, it's probably something that you wanted. It's something that you were looking forward to, or maybe it was unexpected, but it was a really good thing. And when it happened, you embraced it. That's the way we tend to think about blessed. Blessed are God giving us these things. It's like, yes, well, thank you. Awesome. Great. And that's truly part of it. But there's these eight blessings that Jesus wants for us. Now, before I launch into these eight, and I'll be brief, I promise you this, because I think I want to hold your attention. I want to ask really two fundamental questions. First question is this: who is Jesus talking to? Okay, that's the first question. Because when we understand that, it opens up an entirely, it just makes this whole text electric. And the second question is, when I look at these eight blessings, they create kind of like a picture of a bunch of pieces of glass, and whose portrait is in that picture? Those are the two fundamental questions. All right, so hang in there with me, but I want to answer that first question. Jesus is going to launch into these eight blessings. Who is he talking to? To answer that question, it's in Matthew chapter 4. If you brought your Bibles, you can flip there. It'll be on the screen, starting at verse 23. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. So here's the crowd. Who's Jesus eventually going to be talking to? Sick people, paralyzed people, people who are oppressed by evil spirits, messed up people, hurting people, sad people, tormented people. So like if I was a Roman soldier and I hear, oh, there's these large crowds around the middle of nowhere, but I got to keep the peace. And I look at this mountainside of these people, what I would think of them is these people are trash. As a Roman, you know, Roman soldier, I would say to myself, like, if these people just all of a sudden disappeared, society would be so much better off, you know? And if I'm a Jewish person, like an Orthodox, really observant Jewish person who's got my life together and who just, you know, is really successful, and I look at this side of the hill, I would say they're not trash, they're cursed. Because people who had problems like paralyzed, leprosy, you know, all of the real big problems in life that you can't solve just by clicking like, those people were cursed by God. That's how, you know, society looked at them. So that's an important thing we got to keep in mind. These are just broken, 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 broken people. Now, in order to get what's happening here, I think this moment, when Jesus opens his mouth next, it's electric to get the feel for this. If you put yourself on the side of this hill and you're hearing what Jesus says for the first time, you can't believe what he's saying. It's just, so in order to kind of capture a little bit of that electricity, I want to introduce you to this artist. His name, Tim Noble and Sue Webster. So these two artists are British, and they make these large exhibitions all over the world. And if you go into one of their exhibitions, you'll go into a room, it's poorly lit, but it's just a bare room with something like that in the middle of the room. And you'll walk into the space and you're just like, well, this is just a big pile of trash. Or it's just a bunch of metal kind of, you know, pieces that, you know, you'd find in a dump, you know, in a dump or something. And then in the middle of that room, at the right time, a light would hit that trash. And here's what would happen. So a light would hit that trash. And in the shadow of it, it's called shadow art, you would see something that's really spectacular. Amazingly beautiful people. These are two people, you know, just sitting down enjoying what looks like a cup of wine and a cigarette. So, but the point is that what you enter into looking at, oh, that's just trash. There's nothing going on here. That's just trash. The light hits it at just the right time, just the right place, and it's like pretty spectacular. So that's what's happening in this moment. The countryside is full of people who look like trash, but the light of Jesus hits them at just the right time, at just the right angle, and it's not trash at all. It's actually pretty spectacular. It's called blessing. So here, Matthew chapter 5, let's look at this ourselves, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, that's Jesus, he went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Now, his disciples are not the 12. The 12 disciples, they don't get picked for like 8 more chapters. These are disciples as follower, right? So this is like anybody. It's like the big crowd of people. Came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, okay? So remember, who's he talking to, and what's the picture? What's the picture of these 8 blessings? Here we go, ready? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets, for they so persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Do you see the moment of this, like the light switching on? Here's it. I'll spell it out for you. These people on the mountainside, they're like, they've been considered trash, and they probably think of themselves as trash even. And when Jesus flips on the light, and the very first thing that comes out of his mouth is like, you know, you're not trash. You're actually pretty lucky. You're fortunate. The kingdom of God is being offered to you right up front. And he's blessing them. Here's the thing. He's blessing them in the situation that they're currently in. He's blessing them, and they're poor. They're poor of spirit. They're sad people. They're mourning a lot. They have a lot to mourn over. He's blessing them in the situation that they are currently in. And he's saying to them, like, you know, you lived your whole life. And you live in a village, you live in a street, and you know, the people down the street, well, they got the perfect family. I don't have a perfect family. My family's probably perfect. That perfect family, now they're blessed. Or you're down the street, 2 girls down, and she's just a gorgeous girl, and she's like, you've always compared yourself to this girl. She's like, now that girl, 2 doors down, that's the person who's blessed. And so you've lived your life always thinking that you were unblessed, and now Jesus comes up and says, like, yeah, you paralyzed guy, blessed are you. Blessed are you. He's affirming their situation. He's saying that I have a sweet spot. He has a sweet spot for them, the people on the countryside. So here's the deal. I know wherever situation in life you are in, whether you're starting school or you're returning school and you got things kind of figured out, whether you're new married or whether you're retired, you will have a time in the future when you're like, you're lonely, you're crushed, you're lost, you're sad, you're confused, you're heartbroken. Just know, whenever you come to those places and it feels like anti-bless, Jesus would say, it's not anti-bless. You are blessed. You are in the sweet spot. So Jesus' blessing comes down on your heart in these moments. Now, I don't want this moment. I'm not looking for this moment. I'm not desiring this moment. But it's a moment that's holy and pure and good because Jesus meets me in the midst of these things, right? Okay? Now, I just want to look at these very, very quickly. But just know that if you're feeling like you've spent a little bit of time on the side of this hill, Jesus has a word of blessing for you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm going to go by really quickly here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Is he like saying, blessed are those who are just chronically depressed or who are crushed of spirit? Or like, you know, if you're a spiritual zero, you're blessed? He's not saying that at all. If you lack confidence, if you feel defeated, you're really, really in a... No. Poor in spirit is this. Blessed are you when you come to the end of yourself, end of your resources, end of your charm, end of all your intelligence, and you're like, at a couple of points, like, Jesus, I just need you. I need you in this moment. I just need your care, your strength, your comfort. That's poor in spirit. It's being ready to receive help because God wants you to depend on him. Blessed are you when you have a healthy amnesia of your own goodness. When you're not in control, right? And the world doesn't spin around you, right? And you're like, okay, this is it. Lord, you're beside me, you know, in those moments. It's not that you think less of yourself, right? That's not poor in spirit, thinking less of yourself. But you do think of yourself less because you're thinking more of Christ. And the irony is that you're not actually poor. You have a lot of wealth. You're like part of the kingdom of God. So poor in spirit. Let's go on to the next one. There's eight, and I'll be really quick. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, like again, if you cry a lot, if you're sad, if you're spiritually, you know, somehow advantaged when you're just really, really sad? No. We don't pursue sadness in order to somehow have a better advantaged access to God, but sadness comes upon us. But think of it this way. The reason I'm mentioning this is because this is who, if I'm going to tell my testimony in weeks ahead, this is a big part of who I saw myself in my 20s. Think of it this way. Have you ever met anybody who has what I call a Teflon spirit, like a Teflon heart? There's nothing ever sticks to them. They just keep, you know what I mean? They can go in a relationship. They can go out of the relationship. They can say things, and they can be hurtful, and they just go on in life. They just keep going on in life. They don't really ever get sad because they don't really care, you know? They don't really invest, right? The kind of person who doesn't, they don't really hope and they don't really trust, so if things don't work out, fine, flush and move on kind of thing. That's a sad life. So there's something about mourning that's really good. You know, I don't know, in a room like this size, there might be one or two of you who are in this place and you're just deeply heartbroken. Something did not work out the way you wanted it to work out. And it stinks, right? But here's the good side of this. Well done. You actually cared. You gave it. You know what I mean? You went there. Yeah. Blessed are you who mourn. You have the capacity to genuinely love and genuinely care. Blessed are those who are meek. The word meek is not weak, for they will inherit the earth. So here's meek. This word is really a great word. Have you ever been close to a full-grown horse? I don't know, anybody? Like a real horse, or maybe a cow, any big animal, right? You get next to this animal, and you're like, oh, nice animal. And then, you know, the animal just moves its head, and you just moves your arm right out of the way. You're like, there's nothing you could do to control this animal. This animal is strong, well beyond anything that you can measure. And yet it's tame. It doesn't crush you, right? That's the word biblically meek. You're a strong, you're a capable person, but you use your strength in ways that don't blow people up, you know, that care for people. That's meekness. It's not weakness at all, but you're living a refrained life for the benefit of others, and your sweet spot is that you're kind-hearted and you're gentle-spirited. Do you see as I'm going through all of these, you're getting the picture of Jesus? You kind of pick up on that, right? And the irony is that we think about from an earthly perspective, meekness is the least likely way to get ahead in the world, right? And yet Jesus says, blessed are the meek. And then how does he finish it? For they will inherit the earth. It's like the opposite. Jesus is like, turning everything upside down. He goes, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Hang in there a couple more, okay, and I'm done. Hunger and thirst. When was the last time you were, like, really hungry? I'm never really hungry. I always just eat. Really, really thirsty. Really thirsty. I was almost Alyssa Ramsey and I and a couple others. We went hiking in early May up Mount Elbert. And I was like, wait, I don't know where you are, Alyssa. There you go. So anyway, I'm up on this, I'm about 30 yards ahead of her up on the hill. And I was going to throw this picture up here, but I figured I wouldn't want to embarrass the poor girl. And she's on a rock. And she's looking up like this. It's like, this was a moment in your life. It was just complete awful. You are so messed up. I thought I was going to throw that up there. When was the last time you looked like this? But I didn't do that. But the idea here is you are hungry and you're thirsty. You're craving for righteousness. Righteousness is this word, is like the right thing, doing the right thing. You're blessed when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you watch the news and you see what's going on in Afghanistan, and it's like, this is just breaks my heart to see what's going on in Haiti even now with their earthquake. It breaks my heart to see what's happening and people being, you know, gunned down and assaulted, and they're perfect, you know, there's no explanation for the violence that we see. It breaks your heart when you have a roommate who's addicted to something and you can see it. It's just chipping away at their sanity. And you watch it and you can't do anything about it, but it breaks your heart when you see other people being just devastated by sin. Because you want things to be right. You want God to set things right. And that's what he's saying here. That's a good place. That's a sweet spot. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are merciful. You know, when you don't keep score, when you don't hold grudges, when you don't demand what you deserve, and you're merciful, when you see difficult people beyond their problems, when you see difficult people beyond your problems, you're blessed, because that's how Jesus sees us, when you don't see people for their mistakes. Blessed are the pure in heart. I am firmly convinced there are three things in order for me to have a good marriage. And part of pre-marriage counseling, I say this, and I know there's some people here who just got married this summer, and I bet if I called you out and I asked you, what are the three things that are absolutely critical for a good marriage? I bet you could tell them, because we go over them every single week. One is, for a good marriage, you pray out loud for each other in each other's presence. Okay? You pray out loud for each other in each presence. Another thing is, you coach each other. You let each other into each other's headspace, and you don't live with assumptions. It's a skill. You just grow in that. And the third thing is this, and I think it's critical. You have to feed your brain positive things about your spouse. Because in time, we can get lazy, and we overlook our spouse in ways that we don't even overlook strangers. We can treat perfect strangers better than our spouse. So that's the third thing, feeding your brain positive things about your spouse. Blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart is this. You're feeding your brain pure in heart things about the people around you, pure in heart things about yourselves. Whenever you come into a place where you are beating yourself up, where you have a spirit of discouragement about yourself or something going on in your own life, just know that never once in the entire Bible is there ever that God is a God of discouragement. So pure in heart is feeding yourself truth about who you are in Christ, and having goodwill for the people around you. If you have a roommate and they're a stinker, they don't do their dishes, right? And it bugs you. And you feed your heart goodwill about your roommate. Lord, help me to love this person. Lord, care for this person. You will begin to treat them different. If you don't feed your heart goodwill, you're gonna notice every little thing that they do, and it's going to irritate you all the more. Blessed are the pure in heart. Because when you have a pure heart, it leads to an uncomplicated, a drama-free kind of a life. It has a clarity, and you see God. Blessed are the peacemakers who bring people together, who restore relationships, who find common ground, who nurture empathy. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is the last one, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you live for Christ and you honor God with your body, And other people, I don't know why, but just like you honor God with your body. And other people find that threatening. It's just kind of a, okay, what's going on here? But you're living differently, and you're, I don't know, your language honors God. And that can seem just sort of like weird, and people can misinterpret you and misunderstand you and maybe even, you know, judge you and distance them a little bit. But when you live for Christ, you stand out. You're different. And it might be like overt, personal, direct persecutions. It might be passive persecutions where you're not invited. You're not included. All of that hurts, but you're blessed. So I mention all of these things because this. At some point in our next months, we're going to find ourselves mourning. We're going to find ourselves in the role of peacemaker. We're going to find ourselves needing to build goodwill in our brains towards other people. And in all of these things, we have a Savior, Lord Jesus, who did all of these 8 things for us. Everything that Jesus is asking of us, he first did for us. And so it's like at the moments of our weakness, when we're feeling unblessed and we know what blessed looks like, what we do is this: Lord Jesus, help me to receive in my own heart. As you're putting me in a place to be a peacemaker, and I don't want to do it, you, Lord Jesus, made peace with me first. You went and you died on a cross for me. You paid for my sin. You rose for my life. Lord, help me now to grab hold of all that you've done for me so that I can just extend it into the lives of others. That's the point of this text. You're not trash. The light goes on the right end. All of these things are beautiful things, even though they don't feel like it in the moment. Do I hear an amen in this? Amen. All right. Thanks for hanging in there. Now, what I'd like to do is just take it to another step and have you think about it. We call it setting aside. It's the way we do offering here, and we say that it's more than just our tithe. We're big into tithing, but it's a card. And so what you do is please give me your name, and if you want, your email, and if you want, your phone number. And you break it off, and what I do, I pray over you, and this is how I get to learn your name and Mark as well. And you put it in the offering plate, okay, in here. The other one is you write it out you write this out on both of these cards. You break one of them off. You put that card in the offering plate too. The other one you put in your wallet. So here's what I want you to do. Respond to this question. How has Jesus met you in one of these sweet spots? Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungry, righteousness, the 8 that I just covered. How has Jesus met you in one of those spots? And land on one of those, and then write out a prayer of thanks. This is a prayer, an offering of praise and prayer, okay? So how has Jesus met you in one of those spots, and then write out a brief prayer thanking him? Then you put the one in your wallet to remind you of how Jesus has cared for you in that place, okay? You got it, everybody? So when you're ready to do it, there's no organized way. Whenever you're done, you just come up and put your cards in the offering plate, all right? Let's do our setting aside.